I tell you, as a pastor, especially a United Methodist pastor, there's a connection that's shared amongst clergy colleagues. We don't get to see each other that often because we're always off working at the same times in different places. But there's a special connection that is shared between United Methodist pastors who have served the same community. Because the people we love, we both have loved. And I'm very grateful today to have Reverend Dr. Betty Bradford with us. Pastor Betty served here for 12 years. In fact, was the pastor until I arrived that prepared us for all that we do as a congregation, grows out of all those who have served before us. And so I'm very grateful to have her with us to offer us a reflection this day on Jesus as we continue our Lenten series. And Betty, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Consider yourself hugged. I first want to thank Pastor Brad. He asked me if I wanted to preach during Lent, and I said yes. And then he said, well, here's what I'm doing. I'm doing a whole series on Jesus. And I said, ooh, I love me some Jesus. And he said, and you can pick whichever one you want. So I did. I picked mystic. But I want to start by saying that Lent is my absolute favorite time in the church. It always has been, even when I was a child. I love Christmas, and I love all the beauty of that. But for me, Lent is a journey. So it starts, you know, Jesus goes down to the river. He goes out into the desert. He goes and he teaches. He goes and walks around and gets to know everyone. And then he is betrayed, and he has a time in the garden. And then he goes to trial. And he has people who stay with him, and he has people who abandon him. And he goes all the way to the cross. And I think about that journey, and I think his journey is our journey. Those things that he endured, we endure also. And that is what Lent is. His life journey, helping us understand our life journey. And now you're blessed because you're going to get the opportunity to listen to all the different various aspects of Jesus' ministries and how complex his life was. But first, I will tell you why I picked mystic, because it could have been easy. I could have done healer, teacher. Those are the ones that I wanted to do. But I picked mystic for this reason, because I'm a really good Protestant. I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church telling me I needed to think, I needed to reason, I needed to analyze, that I should never have a faith that didn't engage my brain. Because Christianity that doesn't address the idea of reason can be destructive. It can be dangerous. We've seen it happen, haven't we? So I stay up here a lot. But the downside of all of that is that the Reformation threw the baby out with the bathwater. For those of you who were raised in other traditions, and I know some of you here were raised Catholic, there's all kinds of things that were there about the mystery of God. And for a long time, we just threw them out. There is a professor at ILF who teaches Hebrew scriptures. He teaches the Old Testament. His name is Mark George, but he's an ordained Presbyterian minister. And he has talked about the fact that Presbyterians are all about reason. So in his office, he keeps a Mr. Potato Head. Now, one of the reasons I chose this is because I'm Ms. Potato Head. Way up here, right? Too much in my head and not always into that mystery, that heart, that transcendent. And the other reason I picked it, and for those of you who know me, you will not be surprised. I got online and I Googled the whole idea of Jesus as mystic, and there were all these things where people were freaked out, saying Jesus wasn't a mystic, and you can't be a Christian if you think Jesus was a mystic. And anytime I encounter any narrow definition of Christianity, I feel like I have to rebel. I am ornery. So that's the other reason. Then I looked up all these definitions of mystic. And here's the one I chose. It's in your bulletin. You can take it home with you. It's the thought for meditation. But you can just listen if you like. A mystic is a person who seeks by contemplation and self-surrender to obtain unity with or absorption into the deity or the absolute, or who believes in the spiritual apprehension of truths that are beyond the intellect. I thought of Jesus immediately. Self-surrender to obtain unity with God. Doesn't that describe Jesus? John Cobb is one of my favorite theologians. He's a process theologian. And he said, Jesus willed his will to God. I mean, think about those words. Jesus willed his will to God. And John Cobb says, better than anyone. I'm wondering if any of you have ever heard all these wonderful stories. They're called traditions. They aren't in the Bible. They're the stories that come from wondering what happened to Jesus from the time in the Bible where we see him in the temple and he's 12 years old. And then the next time we see him, he's about 30 or so, and he is going down to the Jordan River. And there's nothing in between. And people like to guess, but there's all kinds of stories and traditions, midrash, if you will, that Jesus went east and studied with the Eastern theologians, the Eastern religions. And I like it. I like the idea because it would explain a lot about how he was so different than the people of his own time. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. The Spirit of God dwells within you. St. Paul spoke over and over again, even though he was a trained Pharisee, very learned scholar, he spoke about the indwelling of the Spirit and the mystery of God in Christ. Paul writes in the book of Acts, "For God in whom we live and move and have our being." I love that. And Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. All these things that we hear, we think of as normal. They weren't normal then. They were revolutionary. The idea of all this idea of kingdom among you and within you, those were mystical teachings. They were revolutionary. But since the Enlightenment and since the Reformation, we don't really talk about mysticism much, right? It became something of reproach. Mysticism, if you read about it back in those days, it implied self-delusion. And I think about Jesus, and I think, was Jesus a person of self-delusion? Absolutely not. Not the Jesus I know. If we ponder Jesus as a mystic, one who surrendered his whole being to God, we see why that is important for us today in our lives. If there could be reconciliation in the creation, if there could be salvation of the whole creation, wouldn't it be important that it embodied every single aspect of Jesus and his ministry? This complex man we follow. And because Jesus is the one we want to emulate, I'm going to suggest that in the weeks to come and today, you try on every one of these characteristics. Try on every one of these ministries and see what they say to you. I have always been a person who's drawn to what I call Om people. Om. They light a candle, they sit in prayer, they're quiet, they're grounded. That is not me. I barely can sit through one episode of The Big Bang Theory. So I've always been around and had friends who were those people who were more mystical, more grounded. And I suggest that as you listen this time, you figure out which ones resonate with you. My favorite is teacher, but that's because that's who I am. So listening to all of them and trying them on, the ones that don't feel as natural, as Pastor Brad teaches you about Jesus as a prophet and a rebel and a healer and a miracle worker and a mystic. I think you're going to find some resonate with you better than others. But regardless of which quality, which distinction speaks to your soul, we are all called to be as he was in all things. Sounds impossible. But that's the ministry and person of Jesus was so complex and complete. And to what end? No less than the coming of the kingdom. We talk about the coming, the reconciliation of the whole world, the coming of the kingdom within, co-creating the kingdom in the world, that we might live and move and have our being in God, that we might will our will to God, that we might surrender our lives completely to God, to follow Christ into that mystery. To be a mystic. One of the things I thought of that I had not thought of, which is one of the fun things about coming back and doing a sermon after you're retired, you can take 2 weeks to write it, keep going back to it and pondering it, but this is the thing that came to me a couple days ago, and that's that all the roles that Jesus took on, all the ministries he performed, all those descriptions we use for him, were only possible because of his willingness to live into the transcendent, to live into the mystery. It was the mystic Jesus that grounded him and allowed him to be the prophet and the rebel and the healer and the teacher. Jesus the mystic relinquished himself and was absorbed into the deity, into the God. And I don't know, I asked this in the first service, and I actually got a couple of hands, so Peter, you can raise your hand again. How many of you like living in ambiguity? We had two at the first service. We have one now, and one of them is the same person that was at the first service. So I don't think that counts. That's still only two. Living into ambiguity, that uncertainty, that's what Jesus did. He lived in that ambiguity. The truths that are beyond human intellect. His amazing ability to surrender to God completely is why he became the Christ for us. And this, too, is where we're called. We're called into the unknown, into the mysterious, into the transcendent, so that we might help bring about the kingdom, which I've always called God's dream for the world. That's how I like to think about what it means to bring about that salvation, that reconciliation, God's absolute dream for the world. Jesus faced so many dark moments in those days. In the garden, in that dark moment, he first asked God if God would take that cup back. Pass this back to you, he says. But then he finished his prayer with, "Your will, not mine." In that absolute dark moment, he said, "Your will, not mine." And Jesus sacrificed everything all unto that cross. And I want to tell you that I believe it was a real sacrifice. I don't believe in the smoke and mirrors. I believe Jesus made a real sacrifice in which the beginning part of it, he did not really know the ending. But every single time it got harder, he kept moving forward. That real sacrifice is why we're here today. St. Paul wrote in his first letter to the church at Corinth, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Listen to these words. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the sacredness of Lent. The call to enter the wilderness, not knowing where it will lead, and to follow all the way to the cross and beyond. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, though we are called to follow Jesus in all the ways that Jesus followed God, there is a profound paradox here. In order for us to surrender all to God, to will our will to God, to be absorbed into the being and likeness of God, we need God's help. When we join the church, we say in our vows, with God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ. But what I want to say, and the same thing I say to myself, do not worry, do not be afraid of this call, and have heart. For everything that is asked of us has already been done for us. The whole creation is the heir to this profound mystery. We are the heirs of the empty tomb. Amen.